Right. Yeah, they are supposed to come over here around 4 o'clock. Well, let's start again today, to say that we understand that some of the students from the youth convention are coming over later to testify, and that so we had set aside this afternoon, or we planned to meet this afternoon for the students, but we have. I think some time, a couple of hours, so we're glad that there are some folks here and that we can start off. Mr. Trefon Anguson, you're our first customer.
Sure. My name is Trefon Anguson, Jr. I'm secretary to the board of the Alaska Peninsula Corporation, which was formed as a result of five village corporations merging. These village corporations are Kakanak, South Naknek, Ugashik, New Halen, and Port Hyden. I have served on the village corporation board since it was created under ANSCA. APC has received about 407,000 acres of land from ANSCA and has about 460 shareholders enrolled to the corporation. The bulk of our land entitlements were selected based on subsistence use patterns of the villagers, balanced with some selections recommended by consultants as high in economic potential. These lands were generally mudflats and swamp bogs. During the past 10 years, the board has expended most of their energy and efforts implementing certain provisions of ANSCA. 14C required our corporation to hire land consultants and at least two law firms in order to adequately complete the transfer of land from APC to all prior users, as well as land selected by the state in trust for the future municipalities for the five villages. In one village, the 14C3 selections absorbed most of the good land on the high ground and left the corporation with mostly swampland. On a different occasion, we have had to deny selections that were identified by the village council, creating friction between the corporation and the council, who are incidentally shareholders of the village corporation. Because APC has selected subsistence use lands, we have tried to protect the subsistence lifestyle of the Alaska Peninsula Corporation shareholder. Our selections are often the best land near the village for hunting, fishing, and trapping. They are filled with non-navigable creek beds that make excellent feeding grounds for the moose. The board had tried to hold these lands for exclusive subsistence use by the shareholders. At two prime moose habitat areas on APC land, Smelt Creek and Big Creek, we have posted no trespassing, no hunting signs near the entrance of the non-navigable streams in an effort to preserve these areas for the shareholders. However, the state tells us that we cannot ban access to public interest lands. We are told that the water column is owned by the state, and therefore we cannot restrict the use of these water bodies by non-shareholders. Because we cannot afford to enter into lengthy litigation over water column ownership and access, we have been forced to concur with this state policy. By concurring, we can only sit by watching land being depleted, our land being depleted of its natural resources. Such concurrence conflicts with our goal of exclusive shareholder use of our lands. We will need to oppose these policies, which will require financial resources. Financial resources will require development of the very land that we are trying to protect for our shareholders. The people of South Naknek used to hunt and fish in the Naknek Lake area. When an ILCA was passed, the Katmai National Park boundaries were expanded to encompass the entire lake area. At the same time, the federal government banned any subsistence use of the lands in the park. Because of this policy, the Alaska Peninsula Corporation shareholders were denied a traditional subsistence use area. If the shareholders want to continue a subsistence lifestyle, the only viable option is on APC lands. Not only are we denied traditional subsistence use of the land, we are also forced to share the subsistence use lands that we own. In addition, the Alaska Peninsula Corporation will be forced to develop some of these prime lands. The Alaska Peninsula Corporation's goal will continue to be protection of shareholders' traditional subsistence use of the land, but we find this goal being eroded by state and federal policies. Thank you.
You said that you're forced to share subsistence use of your own native corporate lands?
Yes. We have an area in South Naknek called Big Creek that, we've selected for subsistence purposes. It's a water, it's a drainage area that moose go in to feed on, and it's a non-navigable stream bed, which means that the stream bed is conveyed to the Alaska Peninsula Corporation. The only reason why anyone would be in there is to hunt. And we've tried to, keep hunters out, but the state tells us that they own the water column and we can't control, we have no authority to restrict the use of the water column. So that brings the hunters in.
You mean the hunters can come up the creek bed?
Oh, yes.
Yeah, because the state says they own the water column.
Right.
And that hasn't been tested in the courts yet?
Well, we've been approached by the state with a group of attorneys from their office looking for a test case on water column access. But, the feeling that we've had was that we didn't want to, expend any more money in legal fees to try to, to deal with the issue. So we've concurred with that policy. I mean, I've asked our attorney what was the cost of this, if we were to enter into this battle. And he tells us that it's going to cost at least $15,000. And, it's the legal fees would not, it's an area that we're concerned with. We spent a lot of money on lawyer fees. I mean, it's ever since that, the corporation was created, we've spent money on legal fees for various, functions of the board. Every time we turn around, we need, legal interpretations of this, development of regs for that. The 14C process alone was a gold mine for lawyers.
Have you completed the 14C process?
Yes, the Alaska Peninsula Corporation has identified or completed negotiation with all five village councils. The plans of survey has gone into cadastral and will be, we should see completion of the survey of the five villages in 1985. We've also completed all of the 14C1 applications. We've gone into the adjudication process. We've had to hire consultants there. We've also had to, pay a lot of money in legal fees there just in dealing with that issue of, field adjudication, determinations, and the printing of the decisions alone was a gold mine again for lawyers. So, just this aspect of the program is required us to just concentrate in that area alone, and but we're that area hopefully is behind us.
What businesses has APC entered since it was established? Can you tell me?
Yes, we have. Our primary investment is in the bottom fish business. We have we have the Great Pacific. It's 124 and a half foot crabber dragger that operates, that has operated at primarily as a crabber up until 1980. And then, because of the decline in the crabbing industry, we've hung in on the bottom fishes industry. We've gone into salt cod, which, you know, which really wasn't that productive. In fact, it was, you know, virtually a non-revenue producing venture. And now we've gone straight over the side sales with Pollock cod and yellowfin sole. We operate three joint ventures a year, one in the Shelikov Straits now, and then in the spring we go over to the Bering Sea.
What about employment of shareholders? How are you able to employ shareholders full-time, part-time, temporary, permanent?
We've tried to initiate a shareholder program on the vessel itself when we were into the salt cod business, but it really didn't work out that well. The vessel is out in the high seas for long periods of time. I mean, you're out there New Year's Eve, Christmas Eve, and Thanksgiving. I mean, there's no break in the system, and we've had a problem with trying to keep them on board, and so we haven't really promoted shareholder hire on the bottom fish vessel. The operation really isn't labor intensive anyway. It's the skipper and three hands now. You just, you know, the trawling program. But we did try to employ shareholders during the, you know, the salt cod operation.
What about the, apart from the salt cod operation, have you been able to employ any shareholders?
On the vessel?
Or in any other activity?
Well, we have a shareholder working in Coconuck as a trespass officer who kind of monitors the activities of the lands that are owned in the lake area. What we've initiated a licensing program to geared toward the lodge owners of the area who use APC lands to fish off of, other than the Copper, in the Copper River area and the Coconuck River and that area, the Dream Creek. You know, these are all prime, world-class trophy areas for rainbow. And, we own the uplands to these areas. And, in order for the lodge owners to continue to use the land to get to these areas, we impose a licensing fee for that purpose. And the program pays for the time of the trespass officer.
What about 1991? Have you thought about these questions that everybody's talking about? Any views?
Well, the Bristol Bay Native Corporation has done a lot to educate the village corporations in 1991. They've set the pace and analyzing the AFN's eight concepts that AFN is advancing, and the board has we brought in at our last annual meeting Janie Leist, the president of AFN, to give a presentation on 1991, and then we've invited the Bristol Bay Native Corporation to do the same. We're planning a shareholders meeting on March 23rd, and we will allow the shareholders at the annual meeting to vote on the resolutions that will be presented to the AFN convention in March 28th or whatever in Anchorage. So we're looking at the newsletters that the Bristol Bay Native Corporation puts out as far as the positions that they take. The understanding of the concepts. They've listed what the resolutions mean, how the resolutions are, possibly, flawed constitutionally, legally, or whatever. And we plan to address that at our annual meeting in March 23rd. And hopefully the shareholders will give us some indication of how to respond to the AFN's positions on 1991 in Anchorage. I would think personally from, the strong positions that AFN takes, you know, as you know, we have a problem with, I have a problem with it in the sense that it, you know, takes away the dissenter's rights for one thing. It allows entry of new natives to the shareholder, you know, into the corporation. I feel that, you know, the new native issue is comparable to the limited entry program that we have in the fishing business. We don't have any, you know, I have a limited entry permit. My kids don't. I have, shares in the corporation and my kids don't. But, you know, there's only, you know, the pie is only so big, and it allows, you know, to dilute the assets, you know, on a per capita basis.
Has APC been able to pay dividends to its shareholders?
No, we haven't. We've looked at that. We've gone into the bottom fish business early in the game, and we've tried to see how, you know, promote a land distribution program to the shareholders, and our lawyers again tell us that, you know, that's another problem in making a distribution of land, because some land that you may convey may have more value than other lands that that someone else may get. So we've entered into a, you know, like a 5-acre lease program, and we're promoting that. But as far as being able to make dividends on a cash basis, no, we haven't. We've never made a dividend payment.
But you're promoting 5-acre leases.
Yes, 99-year rent-free leases to the shareholders. It really isn't land ownership by the individual, but it allows the an individual who fell into cracks from the native allotment program, who doesn't have a townsite lot or anything else, you know, the younger shareholder to, you know, participate in, you know, home construction. I mean, it's, they go out and select the 5 acres and, you know, fill out the application. And if it's not in conflict with any other, land use area, we promote the application.
Right. Well, thanks. Thanks very much.
Sure.
Mr. Anderson. Well, Mr. Anguson's presentation didn't provoke a flood of responses, I can see, but anyone else who'd like to say something, please feel free, even if it's not written out as Mr. Anguson's was. Just feel free to come up and express your thoughts, as quite a few people did yesterday. And
Floyd Murphy. I'd just like to say what ANCSA means to me. ANCSA was a settlement act for the companies, oil companies, to put the great pipeline in. Gives native land and money. 200 years more or less, land will revert back to the government by way of taxes or parks. Money is more or less gone already. ANCSA was much the same as taking a man from the Stone Age and putting him into the Space Age. Many people don't know what a corporation is. The main drawback of ANCSA is that it was brought from the top to the bottom, and Native people should have been more informed before the act was passed. I believe ANCSA was in fact a settlement not for the Natives, but for the settlement for the oil companies.
Do you live in Dillingham?
Yeah.
Were you living here when the land claim settlement was passed back in 1971?
Back in 71, I was still in high school, and I was shipped to a different community.
But you're a shareholder of Bristol Bay and Chugian.
Alignage.
Well, have you had any, from your village corporation, have you had any dividends?
No.
What do you think ought to be done after 1991? If people sell their shares on the free market, so to speak, non-natives could acquire control of the native corporations and acquire control of the land, and there wouldn't be native land anymore. But on the other hand, there's a problem. If you want to stop that happening, you have to stop native people selling their shares, and some of them think they should have the right to sell their shares, get the best price they can. Any views on that?
My feeling is there, if you're going to make a closed corporation where your stocks are retained by natives only, that the value of the stocks will go down because you can't acquire them any other way.
But what do you think should happen when you're, if you're faced with the choice of selling your shares in your native corporation shares, or knowing that made it possible that the land might fall into the hands of outsiders, how do you think you'd feel about it?
Well, my feeling is that I'm not getting any land right now anyhow out of the deal. And that's my main thing, is I like to get land out of it, but I don't see any way I can get it.
Mm-hmm. Okay, thanks very much, sir. Mm-hmm. Anyone else who'd like to say a few words, please feel free to step up. And sure.
I'll be reading this here. My name is Rose Hyano, and I was born and raised in Dillingham. I'm a shareholder of the Bristol Bay Native Corporation and Chugian Limited, the village corporation of Dillingham. I first became introduced to ANCSA in 74 when I started working for Chugian as a secretary bookkeeper. At the time, I barely was able to understand what ANCSA stood for, let alone understand it. I soon came to realize that the corporation I was employed with had a vast holding of land to manage and a lot of money to invest in 1,049 owners with equal shares. The land that surrounded Dillingham all of a sudden had ownership applied to it. People that own native allotments realized the value of their land and started wheels rolling to get title. Chugyeong began their 14C process and gave portions of their land to the city and other 14C recipients. Receiving title around Dillingham opened the community up for development. Land was very hard to get before ANCSA came into being. Many people have benefited from it because they were able to buy the property. The land along are river drainages that are used for subsistence purposes by all native people in the vicinity also had ownership applied to it. Fortunately, we are still able to use this land along the rivers for subsistence purposes without restrictions. I dread the day when signs are posted, no hunting, fishing, or trespassing. I have seen these signs in Dillingham on native allotments, where I pick berries for years and become very angry. I feel I have some ownership to this property since I used it so much in the past. I am able to move on and find other berry patches, but what will happen when other signs are posted and there is nowhere else to go? I realize we don't have control over native allotments since we are privately owned, since they are privately owned, but our village lands we do. I feel it is very important to keep our village land where subsistence is active under a restricted ownership. If we don't, we will lose a part of us that is very unique, our land and use of it. Too many times in past American history, land, except for small portions, was completely overtaken and developed by the Western world. I don't want to see this happen to the lost frontier. The land bank seems to be the answer and hopefully will prevail. Another portion of ANCSA that I learned a lot from was the money. Villages were given many dollars for the purpose of investing and making a viable corporation for their shareholders. The board of directors and employees had to learn quickly how to invest their money and manage it properly. Not only the people directly involved with the corporations had to learn, but the shareholders as well needed an understanding of business in order to understand whether or not the corporation was functioning properly. So if it was Congress's intent to educate us in the business world, they have succeeded. Though many of us will never be successful businessmen, at least we have the basic understanding of it. Unfortunately, many of the village and regional corporation will suffer from poor management. But this is no different from the rest of the business world. Again, I'd like to stress the importance of protecting our land against poor management. Another aspect I've learned from ANCSA is what a shareholder is. At one time, we were just ordinary people trying to make a living. Now I see shareholders arguing against each other over the right or wrong way of running the corporation. I see shareholders expecting preferential treatment in a business servicing the public. I also see a lot of dissension over non-native hire in our public businesses. It is very difficult to run a viable business with all this undue pressure from shareholders. I do not see any end to this bickering because there is no way to please everyone. I really feel sad that this sort of thing is happening. Our corporations are having a tough enough time surviving against competition. Internal fighting just makes it harder to survive. All in all, I must give the majority of my working career and experience to ANCSA. I have learned about the land, business, and the impact of 1991. The main concern I have is the protection of our land and keeping it in native ownership. I feel BBNC is doing an excellent job in fighting for our rights and protecting our native interests. I realize there is no use of trying to get things as they were in the past, but we can have some say of what is to come in the future. We must continue to educate ourselves and our children of the world around us. Fighting against the inevitable is useless. Working with it will give us some say of what will prevail. Thank you.
Thank you. You said that you went to work for Chugyeong in 1974.
Mm-hmm.
And are you still there?
No, I worked there for, about 5 years, and then I went back to work again about 4 years ago. But I'm now working for United Bank Alaska, but have worked for many years with them.
About what proportion of the shareholders are actually living here in Dillingham, and what proportion living in Anchorage or in
the percentage? I really don't know. Must be at least over 70%, I'd imagine, living in Dillingham.
Living right here?
Yeah. I haven't looked at the statistics lately, but there is the majority of them that do live here.
When you were talking about no trespassing signs in the bush, you were talking about no trespassing signs on native allotments.
Yeah. I've seen a lot of that happen around native allotments here in town, where we use the lands over and over, you know, for berry picking. All of a sudden you can't go on them without permission, and people are fighting against them.
When you referred to subsistence lands should be under restricted ownership, I gather you were thinking of the land bank.
Yeah, the land bank. In what capacity, I really haven't read up on the land bank, but some kind of restrictive ownership, I think, would be the only way to protect the use of it.
And then you said there's been dissension over non-native hire. I know that's a sensitive topic, but anything you want to add about that? That seems to be a problem.
There is, and I see
everywhere.
A lot of, you know, I see a lot of people hollering about it, but then when the jobs do come open, you don't see the people there knocking on the doors trying to get in. I know a lot of it is because of the fishing in our area here. It's because they fish in the summer, and a lot of the jobs that are available need to be year-round. Like, you know, the jobs, the biggest, the busiest part of the season is during the summer when the influx of people comes here. But if there was some effort of the shareholders to show an interest in a specific area that they would like, I'm sure the corporations would, you know, do their darndest to get them on there if there was an interest in a, you know, a qualified.
Yeah. What proportion of the approximately of the over the years that you've been associated with Chugian, what proportion of the people on the payroll were native as opposed to non-native? Any
Real
idea?
Real low. The native shareholders were the lower percentage. Is the lower percentage, the majority of the cases.
Yeah.
And they do offer the management trainee programs, which I was a part of at one time, and the various other people. None of them have actually stayed and became part of the management team. But it's educating the shareholders. If you had to look at some positive thing about it, maybe one of these years there will be a management trainee that becomes a manager. You know, if they found the interest and just stuck with it. A lot of times, like in my case, I had a better job offer and went on. But if there was a genuine interest to stay in a certain field, I'm sure they'll be able to accommodate them.
What, if you put the land in the land bank, it's it can't be taxed while it's in the land bank. But there's still the question of a corporate takeover. That is, if a corporation has land in the land bank, but somebody else buys up the shares, the majority of shares, and takes over the corporation, then the land's still in the land bank, but it belongs to
the corporation that took over.
Well, it's no longer under the control of the shareholders of the old corporation. Anyway, what about, have you thought about whether or not people should have the right to sell their shares and after 1991, those questions?
Yeah, I feel that, you know, there's enough diversity in people's opinions on what they want to do. I think it should be up to the shareholder, if their shares are worth something, and, you know, I hate to see them sell it, but I think the time has come for for the people to make up their mind themselves, how important it is to them. And we'll just go to show you, you know, if the time comes where the shares are available to be sold, who it means more to and who it won't. There's you can put the restrictions on it, but what's, you know, just like the permits, you know, the permits are being, Bristol Bay permits are being sold right and left. And we have no control over that. And, you know,
the people selling their permits.
To the outsiders. And there's, you know, the competition has gotten so severe out in fishing that it's, you know, you really have to. There's, before it was kind of a friendly fisheries. And now the competition is so fierce that it's dog eat dog. And
so,
that's, go ahead.
Sorry, I understand all that, except where does that lead you? Are you saying that if people have the right to sell their permits, they should have the right to sell their shares?
No, I'm not saying that. I'm just saying that it's up to the individual person. You know, you know, if you put a restriction on our shares aren't going to equal anything. And I believe that there's always having to, there's has to be restrictions to everything, and there's, you know, like in the afterborns, there's, you know, that we can't accommodate for everyone all the time. The same with native allotments that came and gone, and here I am. I didn't qualify for a native allotment. You know, that's the way the world turns, is, you know, what happens. You just have to, I don't know if we're able to ever change it where it's going to make a difference, which I don't think there is a way to change it. You know, the act passed, and here we are, 1991 is approaching. And to put more restrictions on it, I really don't see it coming. It's just having to live with it and think of the inevitable, and hopefully people get educated to the fact that, you know, if it means a lot to them, to hold on to them. I know it's going to come to a case where people will have to sell because they'll need the money. You know, and maybe there'll be the buyback program by the corporations to protect it. It's just so vast that I don't really know the answer. I just know that you just got to look out for yourself, and, you know, and try to educate the people to think the same way.
Right. Well, thanks very much. Well, anybody else like to say a few words? Yes, sure.
My name is Milo Adkison. I'm a Dillingham resident, and I'm not a shareholder of any village or native corporation, although my dad is. I'm one of the people that doesn't, just as the blood quantum has been diluted, I'm an eighth native, so I'm really not eligible. But one of the benefits that I did get from ANCSA was that there's a vehicle been set up to preserve land for traditional use, subsistence use, fishing and hunting and things like that. And I think one of the things that 1991 really scares me is the fact that there's a possibility of this land getting out of local control. And I would really like to see that protected. I would like to see something set up so that the land could not be transferred. There wouldn't, like Rose was talking about, we're already seeing a little bit of it with some land being taken from communal ownership to private ownership, and there's restrictions being put up on it that way. And if there was an outside group that took over the land, then you know, I wouldn't have any benefits at all. None of the people that are even shareholders would lose a lot of the major benefits under the 1971 settlement. I think there's problems with the corporate structure of the settlement in that the corporations are set up to do two things. They're set up to provide economic benefits to the people, and they're also set up to protect the land for traditional uses. And the corporate structure is the way it's set up now, is that the corporations can be taken over, and we could lose both at once. That if you try to protect the corporation by protecting stock from being transferred, you decrease the value of your shares, so you lose some of your economic benefits. I think what needs to be done is to take a large part of the land, like Trifon was saying, that's been it was selected originally for subsistence use. I mean, it's the corporations have realized that this is land that's important for your traditional subsistence usage, and it's really not slated for development. And I think that land should be transferred to some sort of membership organization where you can't transfer the stock. I don't even think stock in a, or I guess it wouldn't be stock, but I don't even think it should be set up so that it could be transferred your possession of part of that organization or that land could be transferred from one native to another even. I think that should be, those kind of lands should be protected so that everybody has an equal share and you can't get rid of it. And then the corporations, when the corporations would have the assets, you know, pre-selected lands that they'd need for development, for economic growth, and if a shareholder of that corporation wanted, you know, thought that the best thing for him to do would be to get rid of that stock for his own personal economic gain, then he wouldn't be jeopardizing the, you know, the vested interest of the rest of the shareholder or the rest of the natives in the region.
Yeah. Well, you're really saying that the land, which is now really privately owned land, owned by private corporations chartered by the state.
Uh-huh.
But they are distinctive because their only shareholders are Native people.
Right.
The only voting shareholders are Native people. You're saying that the land, for subsistence at least, should be transferred to an entity that reflects the idea of traditional communal ownership.
Yeah. Some way to take so that you know, some way to remove the danger of this great portion of traditional subsistence land being lost through a takeover. I think that's probably the only viable way to do it. You can't, if you're going to take a corporation and take all its stock and say natives can only sell it to natives or nobody can sell it or something, the records of most of the corporations is such that they've been paying really limited dividends, and you know, some of the about the only benefit or the major benefit they've been providing for people is that they are a vehicle to protect the traditional usage of the land, and that's the major benefit they have been providing up until now. And you know, I think it's really ridiculous to risk all that.
Well, well, a lot of people in villages that I've been to would agree with you. That is, the principal benefit of ANCSA has not been dividends, because they didn't get any to speak of. And it hasn't been jobs, because they didn't get any jobs. But it has at least kept the land in native hands since 1971.
Uh-huh.
But, you know, angst, it does change people. Mr. Nielsen of Bristol Bay Corporation said values change when he spoke yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
And, for instance, this is the first place I've been to. Dillingham's the first place I've been to where the majority of people who've spoken are opposed to children born since 1971 being enrolled in the corporations. And that, I mean, that shows that there's a rejection of the idea of traditional communal ownership that means that people's ideas have changed over the years. I guess, and maybe this angst has made them change. Anyway, any comment on that?
Well, you've got a community like Dillingham where you say it's the only community that you've been to so far where you see that people are opposed to issuing new native stocks. It's
Fairbanks too, I think.
Fairbanks too. It's a larger region where people don't depend upon as much upon subsistence as they do in other places. I see a parallel situation in places like down on the Alaska Peninsula or in the Lake Eliamna region where you got sometimes a majority of the shareholders that just don't live in the region. They live in Anchorage and stuff, and I'm sure the people that live out of the region would be opposed to issuing new stock because it's going to dilute the value of the only benefit they're getting right now, which is that they've got stock that's worth some money. And they don't live in the region, they don't need subsistence usage. I think what I'm saying is if you take the subsistence land and put it someplace, I think a membership organization is better than a land bank because, you know, that way if they have a claim against the corporation, they can't get a hold of the land that's in the membership organization. I think what I'm talking about is a compromise that would protect the interests of people whose primary benefit from ANCSA is the stock that they've got, and it would also protect the interest of the people whose primary benefit is that they have that they're retaining the land in native ownership for subsistence use.
Do you know that under the AFL,